It is Thought Leader Thursday. John Horton is here from Associated Bank. John is Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank, specializing in construction loans, jumbo mortgages, and refinancing. He's our go-to guy on mortgages and home ownership. And John, good morning. Welcome back to the opening bell.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Good to see you again.
Let's talk about mortgage rates.
Okay.
Mortgage rates, I guess, by all indications, will be going up this year, maybe 3, maybe 4, depending on what happens with the Federal Reserve. Where do you think the rates will end up by the end of the year, by mid-year?
You know, it's that crystal ball theory, Steve. On Monday, things were good. Tuesday, they were fine. The market started the 1,100-point drop. That was Monday. The 1,100-point drop on Monday. Rates went down. Anytime there's a rate change, up or down, we get an email from our secondary market group, and it said rates have worsened, which is pretty much what we've only received over the last year. Monday at about 2 o'clock, we got a rates have improved email. No one believed it. It's not April Fool's Day. Rates actually improved due to the 1,100-point drop in the stock market. It's one of those things where it's really difficult to assess rates, as you know, as everybody knows. It's a day-by-day trend. It goes back to the conversation with the banker. It goes back to getting pre-approved. I know that really doesn't answer your question. If you were to read and believe what all the analysts say and the soothsayers, they're talking rates being this time next year a half a point higher. So probably scraping around 4.625 to 4.75. Now, when they quote rates in the paper, they always gauge it on the 30-year fixed conforming. So it's not a blanket rate. They're not going to get into jumbos or ARMs. It's just kind of a point of reference where your rates will be. But again, things could happen. Bad things in the stock market mean good things for mortgage rates. So one of those things you really do need to have that relationship and keep your finger on the pulse to know where the rates are going.
And the predictions from all the other big economists say the same thing. Rates are going to stay in the 4% area this year. That's still good historically. And if you're thinking about buying, get off your butt, right?
Yeah, you know, sitting on the fence doesn't do anything but give you splinters. The problem is with the low housing inventory, the longer you wait, your chance of missing that house that you want, two things. One, rates might be higher. Two, the house is going to be gone. So getting in touch with someone, working out your payments is key. Rates go up by an eighth, depending on your mortgage amount, may not be that bad, but you won't know until you sit down and get it done. But really, getting off the fence and looking at the house you want, you really shouldn't wait for those two factors, low inventory and the possibility of rising rates.
A couple of things to consider here. One is, and I'm one of those firm believers that my home is my investment.
Correct.
Didn't move at all during the crash this week of the stock market. I still have my equity there. It's a good investment, right?
You know, it is a good investment. And people say it's an investment in your bricks, but it's a long-term investment. You can't get in to buy a house expecting a huge increase in a short amount of time. Years and years ago, that could have been possible if you were flipping a home. Realtors always tell you want to buy a home with the thoughts of selling it, meaning, could I sell it? Does it have curb appeal? Is the homeowners association too high? But if it's a long-term investment, you really can't look at the market every day because you'll drive yourself crazy. You lock in on your rate, be it an ARM or a fixed rate product, and just ride that investment. Get a good deal. Do your research. Get a good realtor. Get a good attorney. And get a good lender. And you should be good to go.
On that notion that you buy it to sell it, is now a good time for people who are in their places already, maybe for 5 or 7 years, to think about putting it on the market?
I think if they're ready to move, it is. Again, going back to the low inventory, the housing shortage is as short as it's been, I think, since 2009, according to the National Association of Realtors. So if you're thinking about selling, same thing. Get off the fence. Don't think too long because you might, in a year, there might be plenty on the market and rates might be low. So if it's something you're ready to do, we have a lot of people now that put it on the market. Houses have sold and they have nowhere to go. So you may be in that situation where someone can come in, quick close, quick mortgage close. You better have somewhere to go, because if you don't have an alternate plan, that you have a house in line, you can live with relatives, you have an apartment. We have a lot of buyers right now that are living in apartments just because they couldn't pass up on the deal that they got on their home. They took the deal, and now they're out looking.
Yeah, worst case scenario, you'll end up at Motel 6.
Exactly.
I think they still leave the light on for
you
there.
They do.
John, I want to make sure that our listeners, when we talk about the shortage of places, the supply, are we talking about houses or condominiums or both?
You know, I think it really depends on where you're at, Steve. Again, if we look out the windows here at WGN, you see condos going up everywhere. I think the shortage in the city may be a little less than the shortage in the suburbs.
Those cranes in the air, foretell a future where that might be what a market that has too many units to sell, or are people buying all of these condos?
You know, the pre-sales on those, it's an interesting question, because a lot of banks and lenders, when you go to purchase a condo, they look for pre-sale requirements. Some banks don't want to be the first in. They consider it a risky move. They want so many sold before they'll jump in the game. What we've seen on some of these buildings that don't even have roofs on them is the pre-sales are really moving quick. I think a lot of it is these companies moving into the city, the hopes that some of these companies will move into the city, and the millennials jumping in and want to take advantage of it.
Let's talk about those millennials. Another study says that the millennials are becoming the home buyers. They're becoming a strong customer base for you, I bet, too. And it varies depending on what state. It's stronger in one state versus another. What are you finding about the people that are coming to your place?
Millennials are starting to buy. I know we talked about 6 to 8 months ago. They are a huge, huge home buyer. The average home purchase for a millennial was $450,000. You know, they're getting off the couch. They're realizing the value in home ownership. And they're organized. You know, the big thing about getting a mortgage is we always tell people it's not your grandmother's mortgage. You need to have all your documentation. It can be a lengthy process, depending on what you provide to your lender. Millennials come in with everything, generally on their phone, and they email it to you from your desk. But they're buying homes, they're buying nice homes, and they have the assets to back it up.
One of the studies I think we're pointing to here, one of the research projects, NerdWallet recently did a survey. NerdWallet, I just love that name. But 85%, almost 82% of the millennials say that they're close to buying a home in the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's huge. And then on top of that, they are also saying buying a home is a bigger priority than it's ever been. So you take that 82%, they all talk to their friends. I always say people hang out with people like themselves. You're a millennial buying a home, guess what? Your friend's going to start looking. So besides being a great networking opportunity, 82% is a big number. It's a huge number.
It is. And we're talking about when we think millennials, 18 to 34-year-olds. And they're saving, too, apparently. They've already started putting away money for a down payment. What is the average time that it takes to save for the down payment, let's say, on a $200,000 or $300,000 home?
You know, I'll tell you what, that is one of the biggest misconceptions in the mortgage world. You can purchase a home with 3% down if you're FHA, 100% financing if you're VA, or as low as 5% for a conventional. It really is. We talked to several people. They were going to wait till they had 20% down. 20% down avoids private mortgage insurance, but if you're looking to get into a home, you can easily buy a home with 5% down.
Part of the story is where millennials are doing this buying and where the affordable markets are for them. I found a report that put West Virginia number one. Indiana was in the top 10. Illinois wasn't in the top 10 of that one list. That was according to USA Today. What would make one state more affordable than another? Just the geography or...
I think it might be the geography and also the taxes. You know, you're looking at a lot of the counties and the municipalities in West Virginia and Indiana that have minimal, very low taxes. So people also have to remember, besides your principal and interest, you have your homeowner's insurance and you have your property taxes. So in some cases, your property taxes could be $1,000 a month, $2,000 a month, or they can be $300 a month. And with a lot of the millennials with the opportunity to work from home, you don't need to be close to an office anymore.
Indiana was number four on this list. Iowa was number five. Wisconsin, Illinois, not in the top 10 of that survey. Let's talk about some tips for mortgages. I know we've talked about this before, and you mentioned a little earlier, the rate and the length of the loan. Don't rush into one of these short-term loans. Make it a long-term loan with a low interest rate.
You know, there's a couple ways to look at that. Again, clients will come in that have kids in college. They have 4 years left in college. They know they're going to sell. They know they won't be there. You wouldn't want a 30-year fixed at 4.25. You'd want a 5-year ARM at 3.75 if you know you're not going to be there. You do have people that like to gamble. It could be a cash flow issue. You could have a borrower that lives on bonuses and commissions. Some months are great. Some months aren't great. So it's a cash flow, so I want to keep my principal and interest a little lower. It's about timing. It's about planning if you can, and then you have people that say, I don't care. I want a 30-year. I never want to worry about my rate. I want to know what my payment is. On the flip side, some of our refinances now are people that are in 30, knowing they're going to be out in 3, and do a 3-year ARM at 3.375. So it really comes back to that basic conversation. Doesn't cost you a nickel, but could save you a lot of nickels in the long run.
I've talked to a couple of people I know in the last month or so. They've paid off their mortgages completely. And that's what I kind of thought, too. And I don't know. I think they were bragging when they told me they had done it. And I guess congratulations. But I keep coming back to what you've said before. That's a bad thing to do. Bad idea.
You know, not only is it bad for me and my family, Steve, but it really comes down to talking to your accountant. If you need that tax write-off, again, with these tax changes, this could be a totally different conversation next year. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest tax write-offs people have is their interest on their mortgage. Now it's capped at $10,000 and property taxes at whatever. That could change in 6 months. But if people just don't want the debt, they don't want to worry about it, they may have their finances structured somewhere else where they get an equal or greater tax write-off, and they don't need the mortgage. The equity out of the house is phenomenal. No mortgage, sell your house, 100% equity.
You know, one of them is heavy, planning to invest heavily in the stock market now that it doesn't have a mortgage to pay. And right. I guess that might be a strategy.
Could be an opportunity, but that's risky, as we all know. Your mortgage isn't risky. You get your tax write-off depending on the situation and talking to your CPA. If people like to gamble, obviously the cash flow gets a little better once you pay off your mortgage.
What about what are the rules for that? How would I become a renter? Let's say are mortgages restrictive in terms of saying, yeah, you have to live in that place after you buy it. You can't rent it out and find something like if I wanted to become a landlord.
Sure.
Is that possible?
There are some. There's a little small print in the mortgage that you sign saying it will be an owner occupied property. I can't tell you how many people buy a house, and they kind of build that inventory of rental properties. Mm-hmm. You can also go the other way, where you can buy investment property. A little higher down payment, it's 25% down, a little higher on the rate as well. So anything that's not your vanilla mortgage has a little bump in it through Fannie Mae and the interest rates. But if you were to take your home and go somewhere else and rent it, technically you're not supposed to, but it's done.
Lines are open at Associated Bank. John, I'm sure you'd love to hear from people.
Absolutely. Associated Bank is there and ready. And what you also, real quick as well, credit is key.
Yep.
People need to keep an eye on their credit. You could be ready to buy a house. You could be ready to go and realize you don't have the credit to do it. So, again, it's repeating, but get back to your lender. One thing else real quick, rate hikes just don't affect your mortgage. They affect your credit cards. They could affect your car loan if you're going to refinance. They could affect your homeowner's insurance, your home equity. So thinking of rates, a lot of people gravitate right to mortgage, but there's a lot of other implications that could have an issue if they go down.
Good conversation as always, John.
Good to see you, man. Take care.
See you next time. Bye. John Horton, Vice President and Senior Lending Manager at Associated Bank, specializing in construction loans, jumbo mortgages, and refinancing. It's our thought leader conversation. We do it every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can listen to our past conversations at WGNradio.com. Just head over to the Opening Bell page. You can also follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership for more on our thought leaders.